Sound Sessions on WGN.
I love this song.
Jepsen.
That is
I love
right.
That, line.
That is right. That is Archie Powell and the Exports singing the Jepsen's Malort theme song, basically. Now, if you haven't heard of this alcohol, you need to, first of all, try it. Give it to an surprising friend, or just, you know, buy yourself a bottle. Kevin, have you had any experience with this alcohol?
Yeah, I have. I celebrated the Chicago Blackhawks 2013 victory. First thing I did was went and got a shot of Malort.
Well, you know, there's nothing more Chicagoan than you can do than that.
Absolutely.
This alcohol has taken Chicago by storm, and we have the director of marketing, the man himself, Sam Meckling of Jepsen's Malort. How's it going, Sam?
Awesome, man. Glad to be here tonight.
Oh, we are glad to have you. I mean, so let's start with the folklore behind this alcohol. Never before have I seen such a storied past come from a certain amount of alcohol. Where did it get its start? Why is it on the rise? What's happening?
Yeah, it's got like a cult-like following, it seems, right now.
It definitely is. I mean, like, in terms of things that have just never gone away, Malort came to Chicago in the early 1900s, and a guy named Carl Jepsen was selling the stuff door-to-door. Like, he kind of sold it as medicine. Lo and behold, here comes Prohibition. All of a sudden, alcohol is illegal. But there was this little nice little loophole called the medicinal alcohol provision. And basically, he could sell it at any bar, any liquor store, if he could prove that it was medicinal, right? So who do you really have regulate that? So the feds would come to the distillery with their fire axes, and they would say, you know, is your product delicious? If it is, it's going to be labeled as recreational. They're going to break all the barrels and pour it down the storm drain. Mm-hmm. And of course, they would drink the Malort, and they would be well satisfied that this stuff was not to be consumed
oh,
by anyone sane
God.
Enough. And so, like, that's how it was until after Prohibition. But after that, you could go into Walgreens and buy whiskey if you wanted. But Malort in that time had become kind of woven into the culture, and it just exists, you know, because it's part of our initiations and all that stuff.
So back when it was treated as a medicine, what was it meant to treat?
Okay, this is fun. So, like, the only ingredient in Malort, basically in terms of the flavor of it, is wormwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So wormwood gets its name from the fact that it can kill tapeworms. So, like, back in the day,
wow.
you'd be eating, like, you know, undercooked meat. It was pretty common, and you would get, like, tapeworms.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you start losing weight. Everyone would wonder why. It's because there's something living in your stomach that was kind of taking half your plate with it. So a shot of Malort, maybe 15 shots, 30 shots, whatever it took, would be enough to kill the tapeworm and kind of either save your life or save your family from wasting all this food on something that wasn't you. So,
sorry, not to cut you off.
No.
You mentioned, you know, the firefighters and all them, they would get a taste of it. Was it? Did they alter the taste to make it worse, or has it just always been?
No. We are literally, like, it's not like we, like, sat down and tried to formulate the worst tasting thing on the world. It's just wormwood was a very kind of mythical, very biblical type of folk medicine,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only thing that's in our spirit, really. So that's just stuck to our guns on that. It just so happens to be just mind-bendingly difficult to enjoy, but but that's kind of why it's cool, because those people that like it are part of a very rarefied group, you know. It's very exclusive. Yeah,
you know, for me, it sounds like this would be something that's kind of hard to sell, to be honest. How did you get your start with this company?
Okay, I'll give you kind of the dime store version. So basically, I'm a comic, and I do tell stories on stage and all that stuff. And we were running a show where we were asking members of the crowd to describe Malort as best they could, and we were giving out free shots to everybody. And we had these note cards with these descriptions that were just the funniest things we could ever think of. Like, I had one of them that was like, Malort tastes like your grandmother's luggage. You know, Malort tastes like driving through the steel part of Gary, Indiana with your mouth open in a convertible. We heard all sorts of stuff. It made me laugh really hard. And so I had this stack of note cards, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I tried to bring it to the company, and I never heard back from them. I never really heard anything about it. And so I decided to make a Twitter feed, basically, where a bottle of Malort would speak in the third person and say, I taste like, you know, a baby aspirin wrapped in grapefruit,
the
bound
most
in rubber bands.
I've,
yeah,
I've heard is, you know, off deep woods.
Mm-hmm.
It
yes.
tastes like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you're spraying yourself down before a fishing
right,
trip, some
right.
lands on your tongue and
yeah.
all that. And so, like, this became kind of a thing, and the Onion Navy Club picked it up, and a few other local magazines picked it up. And it got so big that the owner of the company, Patricia, my boss, found out about it and kind of hunted me down in the best way. And rather than sue me, she decided it would be better off just to hire me instead. So it's a really, really strange story, but it turned out great.
It seems to be working out for you,
absolutely,
too.
Yeah, she's great.
Do you like Malort?
Here's the thing I'll say about Malort. Now, that seems like a qualifier, but I love Malort. I drink it when no one's watching. That's kind of the thing. It's like there's people that drink it when people are watching and people mm-hmm. that don't. And so, like, I drink it when no one's watching. But, you know, every time I do a shot of Malort, it does freak me out a little bit. But it's like your favorite horror movie. The day you watch it and it doesn't scare you is a really sad day. And Malort is that horror movie that scares me every time, and I love that about it. It's always catching me off guard.
It makes you feel alive.
Yeah, it really does.
Do people still use it as a medicine? I see that some articles arising that they're using it for more than just, you know, the tapeworm epidemic.
Yeah, depending on what neighborhood you go to, you see people that drink it as kind of a Sunday morning hangover cure. And while we can't back that up or verify that, I know there are some bodegas that have it stacked 3 wide, 12 deep. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday morning, they got a guy out there with a box, cutter, open, stacking it and all that stuff. So it is kind of perceived in some circles as a hangover cure. But bitter is good for stomach aches. That's why ginger ale is good or bitters or something like that. It kind of quells the queasiness, you know. Mm-hmm.
So let's fast forward to now. How does it all of a sudden have this cult-like following? When did it get its resurgence?
Exactly.
It's really hard to kind of pinpoint the exact moment, but a pretty easy one is there's a guy, he's a humorist called John Hodgman. Most people know him as there was the Mac versus PC ad campaign for Macintosh. He was the PC, kind of the straight-laced guy, you know, with like the gray suit and the glasses. He was a Daily Show correspondent, and he was doing these shows in Chicago, and he would start the show, crack two necks of two bottles of Malort, put them in the crowd and say, "I'm not going to end the show until both bottles come back to the stage empty," and all
that
stuff.
Oh, my God.
And he had a really big public voice, and he really kind of made Malort and comedy kind of intertwined, and that's what got me involved, and that's kind of the start of the whole thing off.
That's so great. You know, what I really like about it, too, is the logo is so Chicago.
Yeah, I do
like
love that.
Where did that logo come from?
So, you know, I might be wrong here, but there was a liquor company that made Malort a while back, and I believe it was Beelzoff. So Beelzoff, they were very Chicago. They made creme de menthe. They made all sorts of stuff. And so they had the logo that had the three stars on it. You know, now everyone's like, well, the Chicago flag has four stars on it. But the fact of the matter is we are so freaking old mm-hmm. that we only have three stars because the event that inspired the fourth star had not occurred yet. So our flag has just three. That's kind of like a time stamp on the fact that we're older than 1934.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Now, is there, like, I don't know if there's, you know, like, some drinks have a certain thing you say as you cheers or things like that. Is there any ritual?
Like
or,
a slancha or like something.
Salud,
like that.
Yeah.
There's a few. I mean, like, if you look at Swedish culture, there's one. It's basically skull, alcohol, which basically means cheers, alcohol. It's really funny. I mean, the Swedes as a whole, if you look at the per capita, I think, I could be wrong, but I believe that each individual in Sweden that's of drinking age consumes like 8 liters of alcohol per year of hard spirits. That might not sound like that much, but that's every man, basically woman, and kind of child. So that's a lot. They love hard alcohol. They drink it before dinner, during dinner, after dinner, you know, before they go to bed, when they wake up, you know, they're big into hard alcohol. Yeah.
That is so great. You know, I see in the Allstate Showcase studio here that we have the cops here. They must know you're here, Sam.
Yeah, I know. I can see.
Get them out of here.
So the cool thing about this Malort is how it comes to be. It's a kind of a surprise thing. Like when you're with a friend who hasn't had it before, they must take a shot of
Malort. Oh, yeah. It's become a rite of passage, like a Chicago rite of passage, it seems.
It is. I mean, like, you know, this is one of the greatest cities in the world, if not the best city in the world. Mm-hmm. But we do have harsh winters. You know, sometimes it gets a little weird here. You know, and so like when someone moves out here, you want to make sure they've got what it takes to make it. And so a shot of Malort, if they can take it with, you know, confidence and, you know, kind of get through it, you know, they're going to be okay. But if they do it and they wince and they walk away, you're like, you know, better time to go back to Kansas for you. You know?
it's such a great way to, you know, put the hair on your chest almost.
Or take it off, depending.
Yeah,
on
one of the two, yeah.
Well, Sam, we'd love for you to stick around for this next segment. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to look at the history of Malort. We're also going to look at the recent Twitter phenomenon of the Malort face. And our own Kevin Richter will be taking a shot.
Yeah. Of
this.
Can't wait. Of course.
So we will be back here on Sound Sessions on WGN Radio.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. This is Kevin Richter and Michael Heidemann here. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin?
And we are lucky to be joined in the studio by Director of Marketing for Jepson's Malort, Sam Meckling. Sam, thank you for being here. Oh, I guess I should turn your mic on. Thank you again. So,
glad to be here.
You were just telling us off the air, and this is actually kind of shocked me, for this being as big as it is in Chicago, it's not made in Chicago.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that makes the Malort story so crazy is that everyone finds out that we've been made in Florida for a little while, and they're like, oh, you guys do it, you know, because you got so big, and the answer is that we're not big. But all the distilleries in Chicago basically closed the doors in the mid-'80s, and we basically moved to Florida to kind of save the company. And the fact of the matter is, wormwood was illegal in the United States up until 2008.
Why?
It was kind of like wormwood was framed as being kind of a poisonous thing, but the fact of the matter is they used to use heavy metals to color the absinthe green.
Okay.
So they would use copper and all that stuff, and that might have been what made, you know, Van Gogh go nuts and kind of do what
sure.
he did. And so wormwood was kind of had a PR problem, you know. And so Florida Distillers and Auburndale, God bless them, were the only people that were willing to make Malort because, you know, it's Florida and they have kind of a flexible view of the
Anything
law sometimes.
Goes in Florida.
I think so, given the news stories and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Florida. You know, and so, like, it's been made there for quite some time and they do a really good job for us, but it's in our minds at some point to bring it back to Chicago. We're kind of talking that through with a couple people, and it's something we'd love to do one day.
Do you have – is it vastly consumed in Florida, as vastly as it is here? Or?
That's the craziest part is it's made in Florida, boxed up, taped up, put in a truck, and it doesn't see the light of day until it hits the warehouse at Works
wow.
Beverage. So it's one of those things that is made in Florida, and there, you know, there's a brewery down there called Cigar City. They make a cider in the same facility that we make our Malort. They know about it, but other than that, it's really a really closely guarded secret.
That's yeah. so funny.
You know, there is nothing more Chicagoan than Malort, and it would be made in Florida and then just hidden just for our own
yeah,
liking.
Yeah, it's very clandestine. I like it.
You know what's
yeah.
funny is it's like the opposite of how Chicagoans live. It's like, you know, Chicagoans retire in Florida,
yeah.
and this is the inverse. It's, yeah.
And it's almost like takes it back to the Prohibition days where they're just like, you know, we've got a lot of stash here in Florida, Malort. Don't tell anybody we're shipping it over lines to Chicago again. You know, another cool thing about this is the fact that it just has become such a viral sensation. It's been featured on BuzzFeed, Flickr, YouTube, Thrillist.
Yeah, I mean, Thrillist is great, yeah.
There aren't – it's touched every single like news outlet that there is. And the thing that I kind of enjoy watching, especially if you look it up on Google, is the fact that there is some – viral craze called Malort Face.
Yes.
Sam, could you talk a little bit about this Malort Face?
So that was the first thing that I saw when I was kind of like staking out the company, seeing what their social media program was. There was a Flickr pool. Flickr is like an image sharing site. And they had this image pool with like thousands of pictures of people's first Malort shot and their reaction in their face. And some of these pictures are just like spit out your coffee funny. Like these people, like their faces are turning inside out. It's moms, dads, grandpa, grandma, just people just getting absolutely destroyed. And some of the, you know, it's one of the best things to look at in the world. And that was very shareable. It was very funny. And I saw something in the reaction of Malort. And that's the social experiment of mm-hmm. Malort. You got a buddy that's never been in Chicago before. You
oh,
give
yeah.
him a shot and you just sit there with your chin resting on your knuckles watching him, just seeing what he'll do. And that was such a fun experiment. That's what's so viral about it. Not just in the internet, but in a bar. You'll see someone that gets a shot of Malort and they make a face and they're mad about it. But you see them dragging their buddies to the bar at
right.
another table, mm-hmm. and that's how it spreads. It's word of mouth. It's just the curiosity of seeing the reaction that makes it really work.
So funny. Now, I have had, and I can't name specific brands or anything, but I have had another variety or two of Malort, and they're a little bit different. And a buddy of mine makes cocktails with them, actually, and it turned out pretty well, surprisingly.
Is it called Malort? Because I know that's a specific time.
At one point, they were. Now, like, they've got different names. The one from Leatherby, which is really interesting, is called Besk, which is the Swedish style of the liqueur, which
okay.
is actually very correct on the back end. And then there's another one from Few that's called Anguish and Regret, which is very, very accurately named as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask those. So, yeah, it seems like they are not as potent. Tasting, not potent. I mean, you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like the aim with Malort is to have impact, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, to make a Malort that kind of is palatable is like having a heavy metal band that's played at like 4 on the knob. You know what I mean? Like, we go to 11. That's what we do.
oh, I love that. That's what I was going to bring up too. You just said it. It's intentionally in your face,
right? And so, like, you know, we as a company strive to have the strongest product possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a batch come out maybe about 2 years ago, and we always stress out about the product because it's the same amount of the weed that goes into the actual batch, but it's how angry the weed is, you know what I mean? And we got a sample bottle from the distillery, and me and my boss were sitting in her condo, and we were stressing out. We're like, oh man, what's this going to be like? And she poured me a shot, you know, her hand was shaking, she was so nervous, and I drank the shot, and she looked at me and she goes, how is it? And I go, my God, it's so awful. And she's like, thank God. Thank God. You know, cracked a bottle of champagne after that. That's what we want.
I just love that it's we love to hate it, I guess, is what it is. You know what I mean? It's so funny. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, going along the theme of the show, is Chicago's a community, and also there are no guilty pleasures.
Nope.
This is the one thing that you don't need to feel guilty about.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get pleasure out of it. I get a weird sense of twisted pleasure out of it.
It's a sadist thing, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what's next for Jepson's Malort?
I don't know. We got a lot of things kind of in the hopper. You know, we always want to go to new markets. The fact, you know, there's people out there that we call Malort fans that just don't know it yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always give the guy a first shot of Malort and you see his eyes light up. We just want to go to other places and see those people experience the thing. You know, we don't want to give it to everybody. That's the thing. You know, they have to earn it. They have to ask for it. They have to email us and badger us. And we want to, but we don't want to just sell ourselves out and just give it to everybody. So New Orleans is a town full of the weirdest, most amazing original people in the world. They're asking for it. San Francisco, big cocktail culture. They love Fernet. And there's a lot of expats from Chicago there. So just kind of places we're poking around. Love to go.
That's awesome. And Sam, how about you yourself? What are you next on the plate? Because I know you're a comedian. You work in a few bars here in Chicago. What do you got next on your plate?
Well, we want to eventually do a Malort commercial. And so, like, you know, whether this is on TV or on YouTube or whatever it is, we want it to be kind of the scene in Willy Wonka when he opens the door and they walk, you know, land of pure imagination. You got, like, the mushrooms and all that stuff. But it's just basically just it looks like people just screaming and running around. wiping off their tongue with a napkin. So, like, I want to do a commercial that kind of pulls the curtain away from what our process is and all that stuff. That would be great to do. I'd love to do that.
That's hilarious.
That's so cool. So I guess with that, we should take our climactic.
I know.
Should we do this? Shantae, are you taking this? She doesn't drink. Okay.
We are all taking a shot, except for Shantae, of the famous Jepson's
Malort. What was the saying?
Skull alcohol.
Skull alcohol.
All right.
Here we go, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin looks like he's crying right now.
That was a right batch.
Sam looks cool as a cucumber.
Woo. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hanging in there. I've said that. Oh, wow, that's a good batch. It makes people's chin disappear, I've seen. They kind of recoil in horror. So it'd be very hard to, like, fold a blanket after doing a shot of Malort. You know, you couldn't get it under your chin.
Do you remember those commercials? Oh, boy, maybe 10 years ago. It was a beer commercial. I want to say it was for Beck's or something like that.
It was a bitter beer face.
Yes.
That was for Keystone Light, believe
it
or not.
Was it really?
It was, because they said it's a no-bitter beer because it had a specially lined can. And we all laughed, like, that seems dumb, but now every craft brewery uses that special line can.
That's why
cans are so popular now, is because they don't leave the metallic residue in the flavor. So, yeah, on us, I guess.
Point being, that's what I feel like this does to me.
Yes.
The bitter beer face.
Yep.
Same time.
The man with no teeth whose, like, lip would fold over. Yeah.
Where can people, if they want to put themselves through some torture in a good way, where can they get some alert?
So, first, if you're in Chicago, just go to any Binny's location. You know, they're everywhere. But beyond that, go to malortmap.com, type in your address, and it'll drop a pin on the map and show every bar and every liquor store that's around you. So, really easy to do.
Awesome.
Fantastic. And for all the fans out there, we actually have some Malort swag to give away
today. Yeah.
What do we got here, Sam?
So we got a kind of a smattering of stuff. We've got some patches that aren't even on the market yet. These are, like, super limited. We've got a beanie, T-shirts, a hoodie, and we've got a book written by a guy named Jeff Cialetti. It's called The Year of Drinking Adventurously. This guy went gonzo style, went to every city in America, basically, and explored every local drinking culture. This guy, like, literally put his liver on the line to create a really great book, and there's a whole chapter on Malort there. We'd love to send it out.
Wow. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask if he sponsors the bowling team, the Malort Madmen.
This is a good reach out, I think. I think we can. Let's do it on the air. Let's say yes.
Okay. I will talk to him. We'll start the season up a little towards the end of August.
Awesome.
I'll get him in touch with you.
Love that.
That's great.
My Lord bringing people together.
Yeah.
and tearing families apart at the same time, probably.
Michael, do you remember your first shot of Malort?
I do, in fact. I do remember it. It was at this bar called Beauty Bar here in Chicago.
I know. Yes. I know Beauty Bar.
And I was with I was trying to impress this girl that we were kind of like dancing and stuff like that. And then she goes, will you buy me a shot? And I go to the bartender. I go, hey, buddy.
Don't tell me you got her a shot of Malort.
I said, well, I said.
Inadvertently.
I, I go, what's the cheapest shot you got? And he goes, well, I have this thing called Malort. And I go, oh, Malort. Sounds fancy. Sounds pretty good.
There's an umlaut? Oh, yeah.
The umlaut really speaks a lot loudly to me because I was like, oh, fancy writing, nice label. So anyway, I give her the shot and she goes, oh. What was this? After, so, and I didn't tell her what it was because I wanted to, like, keep it a surprise. I thought it was going to taste like, you know, flowers. Everyone kept saying it tasted so good. And
yeah, the flower they have at the conservatory that flowers every 100 yes. years. the like corpse death. Flower, yeah.
So we're taking this shot, and of course, she almost spits it out of her mouth. She goes, I didn't know you wanted to give me Malort. Lo and behold, I haven't talked to her since.
Oh, man.
Sam, what about you? Do you remember yours?
So my first shot of Malort was probably, I've got it narrowed down to a place called L&L. It was right at Clark in Belmont. You know, it's a pretty gnarly neighborhood.
Oh, I know it. Great bar.
Yeah, great bar. I have a really good Irish whiskey selection, too. But so, like, I was there, and I was with my buddy, and he says, I have a shot that I can give you that tastes like that drawer in your mom's kitchen that has all the pencils and rubber bands and thumbtacks and pennies in it. And it's like someone poured a bottle of vodka in there and swished it around like a gold miner's pan, you know? And I'm like, I need that right now.
Yeah.
And I did a shot. I almost took the bottle from the bartender because I thought I'd never be able to find it again.
That's yeah, so funny. I did. I think my first one was either at Quenchers
or
at the Bob Inn.
Those are both very likely, yeah.
And I knew what I was getting myself into, too. I had heard about the legend of it, and, you know, I went for it, and it was worse than I expected.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's the what we love want. Of it. Yeah, exactly. So what we're going to do is we will take some callers. Give us your favorite Malort story or text us your favorite Malort story. We'll read them on air, and we will get you out some of that swag. Sam Meckling from Jepson's Malort, thank you so much for joining us, Sam.
It's awesome. Thanks for being around.